Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is Erica Nadowski of the Associated Press. Hello, Erica.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our special guest, State Representative Joseph Shikarchi, Democrat of Warwick. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be back.
House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says he's gotten universally positive feedback about the House budget that cuts the corporate tax rate from 9% to 7% and raises the exemption for the inheritance tax. But there are some liberal and conservative critics who say the budget benefits corporations and the affluent at the expense of the middle class and the poor. How do you respond, Joe?
I've heard the same positive feedback that Speaker Mattiello has. In any budget or every budget, there's always going to be critics. And the fact that both sides, the liberal side, the conservative side, are criticizing it or have some kind of concerns with it means to me that the budget was probably right where it should be, somewhere in the middle.
Scott, what kind of impact do you think this budget will have on the economy and the need for more jobs in Rhode Island?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, I think the one thing I will say about this budget is it begins to reverse some of the Carcheri years' cuts to investments in higher education. Particularly, I think that they put the bond issue for the new engineering school on there, the nursing school, the joint University of Rhode Island, Rhode Island College nursing schools there. So I do think that this legislature, at least, is trying to reverse some of those policies and invest in education, which we all know is the fulcrum of future economic development.
Erica, what's your perspective on whether this budget will have any impact in changing Rhode Island's status as the state with the highest unemployment rate in the nation?
Well, like Scott said, that remains to be seen. That doesn't turn around overnight, of course. And some of the major provisions that the speaker has prioritized, including the corporate tax cut and the estate tax, that alone, of course, is not going to change the economy here. So there are many other things that would have to happen in terms of workforce development, in terms of closing the skills gap. And those are things that we'll see if that legislation comes out of this assembly.
Let's go to some questions for our guest, Representative Joe Shikarchi. Joe, there are a lot of people who are still concerned about the taxpayer hit for 38 studios, but it seems that only two state reps, Republican Michael Chippendale and Democrat Karen McBeth, are really outspoken in pushing the envelope and saying we've got to get to the bottom of finding out how this deal came together. Why aren't other representatives like yourself being more vocal in pressing for the same information?
I can't speak for other lawmakers, but I'll speak for myself. We have several active investigations going on. We have a civil lawsuit going on. I happen to trust the professionals. I happen to trust the FBI, the state police, the attorney generals. The state is being represented by very competent counsel, and I think that we need to let those investigations play out. And then if those investigations don't bear enough information that can be shared with the public, then I think you'll see more rank-and-file legislators and other people looking for more information, more answers as to what happened, why it happened, who it happened with, etc. But right now, we have a lot of investigations going on right now, and it's my feeling is don't interfere with them. Let the professionals do their job, and then the politicians can analyze it at the conclusion and decide if more investigative need is warranted.
Let's go to Erica.
Back on the issue of jobs in the economy, which the new speaker has prioritized, what else in the budget or in legislation that's coming in the remaining days of the session, what else are we going to see that will help on that front?
Well, there's a bill pending before the General Assembly that would allow businesses that acquire Rhode Island businesses that are in receivership or bankruptcy to get a tax break and a reduction in unemployment insurance. There are little steps along the way that we are working with the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation, with the Department of Labor and Training, and that different various state legislators, myself included, have put forth legislation that helps in about a lot of different but small ways. And when you look at the cumulative effect of all that, and you mentioned before about the budget, that's not going to happen. But the budget sends a signal. I think the important thing about this budget that people have to understand that this is a signal by House leadership that we want to be more business friendly. We want businesses to come here. And getting back to Scott's point about education, one of the things that we are hearing from the business community is that we don't have enough skilled, educated workforce. So if we invest in education, we're also investing in good economic development for the future.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, there's been a lot of talk in the local media about wage inequality, but little focus on really solutions. What could be done about it? Do you see that this General Assembly will raise the minimum wage? You are chairman of the Labor Committee.
I am chairman of Labor. I also am a co-sponsor on a bill that raises the minimum wage. I think I'm hopeful that we will raise the minimum wage. I don't know to what degree and to how much. Those things are subject to negotiation within the House and then also subject to negotiation with the Senate. I am confident that there will be a minimum wage increase.
What do you think of the president's $10.10 proposal?
My only concern, I think we need to get there, is a good way, but I think if you look at it uniformly, you need to look at it in each community. Getting to $10.10 or getting to $10 an hour is a good place, but do we need to get there in 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years? And I think every state needs to look at that, and every community, every legislator needs to look at that and see how that affects their community. I heard from a lot of people in the hospitality industry that want a wage increase, but I also heard from business owners who also support it but want it set out over a more gradual pace.
Republican Catherine Taylor this week jumped into the race for lieutenant governor. There are three Democrats running for LG. Those include State Representative Frank Ferry, Secretary of State Ralph Mollis, and Cumberland Mayor Dan McKee. Joe, are you going to support your fellow Warwick Representative Frank Ferry for lieutenant governor?
I like Frank very much, and I'm sure as we develop and finish the General Assembly session, I'll be active. But most of my energies will be for my own reelection, and whatever time I have left over will be help Gina Raimondo. I've been asked by many people, not only in the lieutenant governor's race, in the treasurer's race, secretary of state's race, to get involved because of my past experience. And I wish them all well, and I will support them with probably a check and attend a fundraiser. But at this point, any excess campaign time I have will be devoted to the treasurer.
So you're saying you'll support the Democratic nominee who emerges from the primary?
Absolutely.
Erica, how do you handicap the race for lieutenant governor with the entry of Catherine Taylor, who came close to beating Ralph Mollis for secretary of state in 2010?
Well, it's early. We still have 3 months. A lot can change between now and then. I think on the Democratic side, State Rep Frank Ferry's entrance makes that an even more interesting race with the potential to split the vote there three ways. So I can't quite handicap it yet, but it's going to be really interesting, certainly on the Democratic side.
How about you, Scott?
I think this gives Catherine Taylor a pretty good opening if she can put the money together to have a really good statewide campaign that can get her message out. Nothing's better for her than the arithmetic of three Democrats from different parts of the party, liberal, conservative. And if they split that vote up, we all know in Rhode Island, when you have these primaries in September, there's only 6 weeks to kiss and make up before the November election. And oftentimes we see when there's a tough primary, particularly on the Democratic side, that's how Republicans win statewide.
The latest findings from the State Department of Education show that nearly one in three Rhode Island public schools need improvement. Joe, this is a huge economic development issue for the state. I think you referred to that a bit earlier. Is the state making fast enough progress in terms of improving public education?
I don't know the answer to that, whether we're making improvements fast enough. I know we're trying to make improvements. I can tell you that I would attack the problem two ways. I attack it from the top and from the bottom.
What do you mean by that?
By at the absolute local level, right down to the school committees, who basically are the governing agencies for local cities and town schools, and then also from the governor's office, from the leadership, that we need to also fund it. I will say this about education. The last 3 years, we haven't talked about education as much as we have in the last 3 years, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's becoming a priority. We're talking about it here on this show. It's being talked about a lot at the State House. We have a commissioner who generates a lot of passion on both sides. We have testing. We have evaluations, high-tech testings. We have teacher evaluations. We have funding.
Scott, some of the most troubled public schools are in Providence, Pawtucket, and East Providence. What can be done to improve the situation?
Well, that's the sad part of this. It's an old story. What our society hasn't done well, this is not just in Rhode Island, but across the country, is try to narrow the gap between the achievement of kids from wealthy families and the achievement level of kids from the disadvantaged or less well-off. You don't hear people in Barrington complaining about their schools. You really don't. Maybe they complain about the taxes to support it, but their kids are all going to good colleges. And, you know, socioeconomics is a lot of this. However, you do see in the urban core some people still very upset about the test scores and the achievement levels of kids who don't come from such high-toned backgrounds.
And the last word here to Erica Nadowski.
You are supporting Gina Raimondo. Tell me why.
I think she's the most talented person. I think she's got the strength to get it done, and she's got a record of proving to get results.
And we should note that Joe also managed Gina Raimondo's campaign for treasurer in 2010. All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Erica Nadowski from the AP.
Thank you for having me.
And State Representative Joseph Shikarchi of Warwick.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.